This is the Formation Lab.
Welcome one, welcome all to another fantastic episode of the Formation Lab. We're back, baby, and that means it's time to do the verbal equivalent of shitposting. Tim, how is it going?
Yeah. It's going, my friend. We'd like to apologize to our fans. It's been a little bit since we've posted.
It has.
But we've had some life things happen, getting synced up with our calendars has been nigh on impossible for the last few weeks.
Yes. I mean, just to recap, Tim, I don't know how much you want to go about your life changes, but on my end, I had COVID for a solid 2 weeks, and I've been blizzarded in for all of most of last week, and then power was spotty, internet was spotty, so it's just been a whole thing, Tim. Hockey season has started back up. I'm on that 3 nights a week, so it's been a veritable disaster of
it has everything. And for my end, I changed careers and I have returned to an industry I miss very much. I will leave the name of my employer out of this podcast just
for
in
legal
case
reasons.
I say for legal reasons, yes, and so that none of my silly things could be ever tied to them. But I do enjoy it very much. So and hey, isn't that kind of liberating though? I can be completely honest about my employer. Because they'll never hear it and they're never going to get tagged to it. But they are really very fabulous. I love working for them.
We're excited. I'm excited personally that, you know, not every day is going to be easy, but you seem to be back doing something you love, which is it's an underrated aspect of life, to be honest with you.
It really is. Having passion in what you're doing, having fun with what you're doing really is vitally important. So, yeah, I'm very thrilled with the opportunity. The hours in these initial stages were long to get up to speed and make sure that I sharpened the knife as best I could in preparation for what I do for this company. Time has not been a friend of mine lately.
If you're looking for a recap on the last 3 weeks from Tim and I, and Tim, I don't mean to cut you off. No. It's basically, hey, you guys want to do Monday or Tuesday? Sorry, I can't. I have a hockey game on Tuesday and Thursday. And Tim would be like, well, I'm working, and then my significant other is her birthday on Wednesday. Oh, well, I'm out of town on Friday. Yeah, well, what about Monday? Oh, I was snowed in on Monday, totally in the middle of, no internet service whatsoever. It's been that for like an entire month, Tim. It really has.
It really has. And to make it worse, if anyone doesn't believe us, this is a systemic issue, we feel. Also, super producer Dylan has been waylaid with overages and work and remodeling to his house. And he was not available for the last few weeks. So
you better believe we would have pulled in Dylan if he was available.
We tried twice.
Yeah. He's so, like, I'm out of town. I'm like, no. You don't get to do
obsessive
amount of traveling. That's my thing.
I was going to say vacations. I mean, you have to come support the talent.
Yeah, is it disgusting that he was at an airport? He was like, yeah, I got to fly out to here. And I was like, you bastard, you fly it? I'm like, shit, I shouldn't,
Well,
I've done about 30 legs this year so far. And I'm just like, you mother, you son of a gun.
He and his wife deserve it. They deserve a little bit of respite. I know that there are very exciting things coming for his future as well. So stay tuned there, but the show is getting an evolution behind the scenes so that we can be better in front of the scenes, in the scenes, whatever that's called.
On stage.
Yes. And we'll Luke, we cannot live up though to the current, I guess we should really, let's rewind. Let's go back to the last time we talked to the listeners, which was right leading up to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, which we had already discussed. Max had effectively eliminated his teammate by being a dick. And it was all down to the finish between Charles Leclerc and Sergio Perez to see who would get P2 in the championship. Red Bull very much wanted it to be Sergio. Unfortunately, Charles Leclerc got the best of them, and Sergio was not able to improve and win that spot. So P1, P3 in the Drivers' Championship for Red Bull, who also take your Constructors' Championship for 2023. It is crying shame because Checo Perez deserved better, and Max is just Max.
You know, if you're one of those viewers of Formula One who just started watching, 2021 was your first season. That race is what Abu Dhabi is usually like. that is your stereotypical Abu Dhabi race, where it was theoretically consequential for someone further on down the field than the championship leaders, and it was a dull rounding of the circuit.
Yep, they did go around. There were interesting sights. There was a big, I feel, an F1 push, and it felt like a British journalistic push to say goodbye to Seb, who is this heralded champion, a man of many phases and chapters. But, you know, that was weird. He did retire, so good luck to Seb. We will miss him. He's a definitive character and a definitive champion for Formula One for all time.
Was it weird for you to watch all of that pageantry and that heraldry, knowing how hated he was for a very long time?
He was the original Max.
Yeah, he was.
And I don't think Max has that capacity as a human being to evolve past where he is, whereas Seb definitely seemed to. And Seb brought a certain humanity to the end of his career. And a relatability, saying
Seb became more of like a character.
He did.
Like a lovable guy. Like before, he was just the villain, but by the end, he had his Darth Vader redemption arc, and you just kind of see the depth of who he is as a person.
Like right when he started to become friends with Lewis Hamilton, and he started to really show who he actually was. I think that was good, and that was interesting. So, hats off to him. Excited for whatever he does next. Probably just be dad for a little while.
Deserves to just be a dad for a while, man.
That's exactly. I mean, hey, I can't say I disagree with him there. That he's earned that. And if he comes back, I'm excited. I hope he continues down his activism path and maybe puts his money into the game and saying, here's what we're going to do to invest in the future in XYZ, because Tim, I think he'd be very good at that.
Tim, is that a stealth segue? Because now that our most activist driver is off the grid, we have a new rule in Formula One handed on right on down by the FIA. Drivers cannot make, quote, political statements without permission, which I want to start this off by just saying it wouldn't be a political statement or a protest if you had permission. That if you have permission from a corporation to make that statement, that's an ad.
It is an ad. And, the fact that MBS allowed that to go through, that sucks. Because really they're targeting a party of one, which is Lewis, who is the only other politically outspoken individual. And it sucks because, Lewis being the unique athlete that he is, being the only black man in a white field of drivers, it is impossible to not think that smacks of targeting. When you target an individual, I mean, especially with the causes he's speaking out on, when he's spoken out, it was for rightfully, enraging murders of people of his skin color. And so to see him being muzzled like that by the FIA really sucks to me.
Let's put on the tinfoil hat for a second and admit that this is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and a conspiracy theory territory for a second. Tim, does it feel like ever since about 2021, probably that midway point, that Lewis is almost target number one of every decision that the FIA does?
I
know that part of that is just that when you're at the front, when you're at the extremes one way or the other, it affects you more. But you go back to rulings, you go back to obviously Abu Dhabi and the application of that ruling. You go to no jewelry on. Well, what driver is infamous for the amount of jewelry he has? Lewis Hamilton. Well, it wasn't a problem up until now, but now all of a sudden it's a big problem, and it inadvertently affects Lewis more than others. And now it's political protests as to who's the most outspoken driver. It's Lewis. It seems to me, and I don't know whether this is intentional or not, and again, this is tinfoil hat, but Lewis is like target number one of a lot of the FIA's recent pushes, Tim.
And I have a hard time disagreeing with that. I have a hard time. Like, there seems to be a pattern of behavior. Now, on track, things tend to go his way. Yeah. Off track, they make up for the seeming disparity. So he can get calls on track. He's just going to get, you know, browbeaten into being who they want him to be with that in exchange, it feels like. So to see this go through with MBS, you know, and the things he's, you know, MBS has said about, you know, objectivity and blah, 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 it just, it feels dirty and bad. So that's a bit of a bummer.
It really does. And I think too that I've seen makings of the rift between the Formula One management and the FIA, right? This, it reeks of that rift, and I get the faint whiff. I think it would, I don't think it's happening anytime soon. I do get the faint whiff of the pre split IndyCar kind of, you know, one organizational like body. Organizational body does something that's not popular with drivers or teams, and then the other doesn't do something that's this, that, or the other. It just also, I don't know. I'll reiterate what I said here, which is that you have to get approved protests, right? If I have to get my protest approved by a governing body, it's not really a protest, right? If I went down and wanted to protest something that the city of St. Louis did, okay, I don't need permission from the city of St. Louis to protest something they do. It defeats the whole purpose, doesn't it? It
smacks of government censorship.
It does. And then also,
yeah, I mean, that's very Big Brother. That's very, you know, and it's, you know, who's making those calls to say whether you can or you can't? Is it a solitary person or is it a tribunal? And if it is a tribunal, what's the makeup of the tribunal? Does someone have a personal bent? I question the objectivity. It's done nothing but help F1 as a brand, you know, to embrace some of these things and make it a sport wide cause. It's stupid. You know, it's the Colin Kaepernick effect. Because one man said something, you're going to make all these institutional rules to make sure no one can ever do anything again, when all you needed to do was fucking listen.
All you got to do, you know what's easier than all this is just doing nothing, right?
Right. Let them protest. Like, right. What has it done to your brand? Except for maybe in those hyper conservative countries, like, I don't know, anywhere
Saudi
in the Middle
Arabia.
East.
Yeah.
Qatar. Yeah, yeah, you know, because we saw a lot of great shit come out of there. Yeah. Obviously and horribly, one of the greatest soccer football matches of all time. I'm sorry, I can't keep calling it soccer.
Call it soccer. It is
football. It is football.
It's soccer.
It's a game that you play with a ball with your feet. Football,
which has nothing to do with the etymology of the word football. We're not having this argument. Do you know that every country that has multiple versions of football calls it soccer? Because it all comes from the same sport family that was played on your feet. That the reason it's called soccer is because it comes from association football?
Was
as
it
compared
the greatest
to rugby
match
football?
Of all time? Was it the greatest match of all time?
I think when you add in the stakes, yeah.
Yeah, but to have it on that soil that had caused such a rift,
but
really sucks. If that had happened literally anywhere else.
Give me that in the 2026 World Cup, and we're Gucci, fam.
Yeah, but the only anyway, but, it smacks of restriction and squashing of speech, which I just detest.
And you know what's disgusting to me too is that now when a driver does something that protests, like a protest move, right? Like puts a rainbow on their helmet, which Lewis of course does all the effing time, right?
Yeah.
Now I don't see that as an actual protest. I know that Lewis had to go to the FIA. The FIA had to say, in this situation, this adheres to our core branding, and thus we are giving you an approval. And now Lewis wearing a rainbow on his helmet doesn't smack to me of supporting, equality and rights to the queer community. To me now, that's squeals of the FIA saying this corporate pandering is approved. It undercuts every protest
it does.
I'm a straight guy, so obviously like I can't interpret that on behalf of the queer community, but am I wrong, Tim?
No, I don't think you're wrong. It does take the sincerity out.
Yeah.
I do want to circle back so that I'm not in any way accused of racism. The reason I bring up the Middle East and those Middle Eastern countries was because at the end of the day, it's all about the same fucking thing from now until the end of time. It always has been, and it always is, and it always will be about the money. Mm-hmm. The Middle East has a war chest that they are busting out to attract sports. Cycling is in it. I know that motorsport is in it.
Soccer
is doing
horse
it.
Horse racing.
Yep, they're attracting all of that. They're attracting golf. Mm-hmm. They're trying to redistribute as our supplies of fossil fuels go down. They are trying to redistribute and make themselves a vacation destination or some more exotic place.
They just want to make
a trillion dollar war chest to do so.
They just know entertainment is a good business, and they just want to be in the entertainment business because sooner or later, you're going to have to start making all your money from something that is not.
Correct. That is absolutely correct. So, yeah. So that's what I think it is. It is always about the money. So, and the people that hold the money have different views on the freedom of speech. And I disagree with them on a core level on that. And many, many other beliefs that they hold.
You do.
Human slavery.
Yeah, you do agree with me that this seems to be a organizers in the Middle East or Middle Eastern politicking. Like, there's no way that this was brought up by the guy who, organizes the Monaco GP, right?
Yeah.
This was not brought to you by the Circuit Spa-Francorchamps.
It wasn't the Canadians in Montreal.
I'll say it wasn't Coda. All right. That stuff goes over pretty well in Austin, Texas. For those who aren't in on the joke, Austin, Texas is about as Texas as Portland, Oregon is Texas.
Weird and cool.
I was going to say it is Texas, but it's not the same Texas as yeehaw, we're going to the Dallas Cowboys game. Anyway.
Oh, why do you pick on them?
Because they suck.
That's the point. I wouldn't kick a Cub. Well, yes, I would kick a Cubs fan. But I wouldn't kick
Red Sox fan. I would absolutely kick a Red Sox fan.
Why? Before they broke the curse of the Bambino?
Okay, you just said that you weren't racist. So I'm going to assume that you stand for anti-racism, and therefore kicking anybody from Boston is a strong, strong statement against racism.
Listeners in Boston. Oh God!
Right, Ryan is not racist. I just enjoy chirping Bostonians.
I was gonna say, man, we have just pissed off so many people. Like, God, we just went Jeremy Clarkson levels of pissing people off.
Oh, he's in the headlines, isn't he?
Jezza, you dipshit. Although anybody that takes his rants like that seriously needs to have their humor reevaluated, because he's never serious. And
he's never serious. And also,
when you watch him, are you kidding? Although what he says, written by anybody else,
crosses several lines.
Every line. Yeah. But coming from him, I doubt the sincerity.
It's a bit like listening to like a George Carlin say that we should round these people up and just shoot them in the back, right? It's like, yeah, if you say that genuinely, you're a psychopath. But also at a certain point, that is George Carlin, you know?
Yeah.
And not that I'm equating the two, but it is that like level of what else do we have? So the driver protest role, I'm sure that's going to just go over absolutely swimmingly. I did like the Will Buxton tweet, who I should mention is with the FOM, not at the FIA, right? Formula One management leases the rights to Formula One broadcasting and blah, 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 from the FIA for like 100 years, I think till 2100, Bernie's old contract. Will Buxton said, well, if I'm reading this correctly, that would mean that Pierre Gasly, since he does the sign of the cross before every race, should pick up a penalty before Abu Dhabi, like like a sizable penalty.
Yikes.
Or before Saudi Arabia, like really early in the season, he'll pick up a penalty.
This is probably where I have a big problem with Will Buxton, because he's engaging in intellectual dishonesty. He is conflating one thing with another thing with the express intent of causing outrage against something. So what he's done is he's saying that Pierre Gasly's expression of faith is the same as a protest. And
I'm going to correct you there for a second.
Yes.
Because the verbiage on the FIA includes any religious iconography or statements or gestures as well. So protest, political, religious, you name it. Religious is also included on that. Yes.
Then I completely take it back, and I hope you edit this part out.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, wow. That's I have no earthly idea how you're going to pull that off. How you didn't think? I mean, coming at them for their religion.
It's a religious act.
It is. And there are many other religions who like,
I think of
Islam and the daily prayer. Like, is that, outlawed?
You know, that's a good point. We do race in several heavily Islamic countries, Muslim countries.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, that is a cultural thing. That's just a thing over there, and you respect it, and you know, move about your day if you're not a non-believer, but they're going to take their time to pray. That's what they do. It's the same as the sign of a cross. It's your religious belief.
I don't care what your religion is. I mean, I really do not. If you want to pray before you put your life on the line, I'll give you 5 minutes. I don't care, man.
Like, exactly. He may not walk out of that. If he wants to make peace with his dear and fluffy Lord, fucking let him.
Also, I mean, even before you put your life on the line, let alone like, if you want to pray, man, like, I don't have anything against you praying at any given point whatsoever. Like, you do you. I don't, Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, Jedi, I really don't, like, I don't see, well, also
furry,
I think
furry is a religion, right?
I think so.
I think that this is it feels like a totalitarian move a little bit, where it's a completely prejudicial move, and you're persecuting someone for using the platform that they've helped provide, and you know, and then taking away their religious rights, like, fuck right off, FIA, no chance.
Yeah. I'll also give Will Buxton a shout out for this tweet, saying that I'll freely admit that I'm now regretting my stance earlier this year, that I believe the FIA was in the right in its vehemence over the jewelry issue. I believe they're merely trying to uphold the rules. Now, as it seems, they're just attempting to curtail freedoms we took for granted.
Correct. Yeah. And that's right on. That's exactly what's happening. That sucks. You know what also sucks?
What?
All the memorization you and I are going to have to do, getting used to the new team principles with the carousel of principles. Since we're carouseling our fucking principles anyway.
Woo!
That was the better segue. The second one was the better segue.
We're going to have to memorize so many. I think the big one is obviously Frederic Vasseur is in as the team principal in Ferrari. Mattia Binotto is OUT. He is Oot, as they would say up north. Tim, I'll just preface this by saying, I personally think Mattia Binotto deserved that. He deserved it. I mean, we were singing that he was a clown in 2020, dude, or 2019. No, 2020.
2020. He had taken over from Maurizio Rivabene.
Yeah.
One of the greatest Italian names of all time.
With one of the greatest Italian figures in motorsport? No.
No. Really cool name. Amazing hair game.
Yes.
But everything else, shit. He made terrible decisions. And then Mattia technologically brought that team back from the brink of irrelevance.
Man knew how to build a fast engine. Maybe not a reliable engine sometimes.
Correct. And within the rules, probably. So, you know, because the first one he was in charge of, and that was definitely not. So
Tim, he was just protesting the rules as they were outlined by the FIA.
Well, then Ferrari has rightly ousted him and cost him the ultimate price, I guess. But he came in and where he lacks, typically a leader tries to develop themselves in several different areas. Mattia should have really gone from his technical background and tried to embrace the strategy and the politics and really tried hard to bridge his gap because that wasn't his natural skill set. Whereas instead, he just leaned on the technical skill set. So that Ferrari was the fastest car this year, period.
Yeah.
Was it the most reliable? No, but everybody else was plagued with reliability issues as well. Red Bull, as we remember from earlier in the year, that thing just went bang every other weekend. But Mattia leaned into the technical side only, and he never got any better at the strategy. The strategy calls were fucking brutal.
Worse to me was he didn't, you can be Dan Campbell and be, it's a deep cut coach of the Detroit Lions and not be the best X's and O's strategist, right? But what you need to do, cause I'll tell you right now, I don't think like a guy like, Gunter Steiner or Mike Crack is really the best strategist. But what you need to do is you need to be aware of where you can delegate talent to people who are good.
And how to move those pieces quickly. So I don't think Mattia was
good at delegating that. I don't think he was a good evaluation of talent in that, because whoever he had that was running the strategy, who was running this, who was running that, they weren't very good at their job, Tim. Call me crazy.
No, they were not. And I don't think Mattia understood the nuance of why and why certain calls should be made at certain times. And the outcome was directly related, not to the car, not to the driver's performance, but to the decisions made on the pit wall. And he didn't make any moves at any time to curb that. So he will be succeeded by Fred Vasseur, who has run the Alfa Romeo team for a few years now. He was moved there by Ferrari to run the team and get that experience himself. He's been the team principal in waiting. We could go tinfoil hat theory, but I think we'll leave it. We all know through Drive to Survive that he has a very close relationship with Charles Leclerc. So I'll anticipate Charles Leclerc getting every strategy call and Carlos Sainz Jr. being summarily boned by those choices.
Yeah, it's not great. But also on the other end, if I'm being real with you, Tim, they have to focus on getting one driver through before they can focus on two.
Here's the thing,
and I don't have anything against Friedrich Vasseur. I think Friedrich Vasseur is a capable team principal. I don't expect there to be much change at Ferrari. If I'm a Ferrari fan, which I'm not, I don't have much hope, to be honest with you, Tim, because it's an institutional thing.
It is, and you know, only a few team principals have been able to fight it and win. So, you know, Franz Tost obviously did it the most famously. But, you know, it is what it is, sadly, on some level. But that has caused a cascade of moves. Yes. Taking his spot at Alfa Romeo, soon to be Audi, may as well call it Audi at this point, is Andreas Seidel from the McLaren team. In his place is Andre, they promoted from within at McLaren. Andre, and I am forgetting his name, and I feel like a terrible person.
Oh, it's okay. Andrea Stella
will be taking over at McLaren. So three teams, three moves. Toto Wolff was announced as team principal for Mercedes as a joke by their social media team. Hats off to them for getting that right.
Seidel, to join Alfa Romeo owner Sauber as chief executive. So he's not team principal; he's chief executive.
I was gonna say he might serve that role as well. He might be a player manager type of role where it's both. I do believe it is both, as Toto Wolff is team principal and CEO. So I believe that will be the role, but it is a promotion. And a definitely great move for Andreas. He was very forthcoming with McLaren. According to Zach Brown, they had discussed it well over 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So this was not a surprise.
Hey, and you know what? You can't hate that for Andreas Seidel. You basically have your opportunity to become the Toto Wolff, not of Mercedes, but of Audi.
And that is where I think he is making a smart move.
There's a lot of team principals who would love that opportunity.
it is a very gorgeous opportunity. So
yeah.
I'm hopeful that McLaren can continue on a path of progress, because I don't think their eye was on the prize last year.
I don't think so either. There's one other team principal opening, and that is Williams, who will be driving Alex Albon and Logan Sargeant. I don't think I know who takes over next year. I haven't seen anything on that.
There has been no movement to my knowledge.
Yeah. I don't think that the previous manager did a bad job. I don't think you can. You're starting at the back. All right. I mean, only way to go is up, right?
Yes.
And to be honest with you, Williams today is better than Williams of 2019.
It is better than it was under family rule, but it is what it is. But there is a program that one of our friend of the show has joined.
Oh,
yes. One Romain Grosjean has joined the Lamborghini Squadra Corsa. And they'll announce him, and he's going to be key in the development of the LMDH program, which will debut in 2024. He is now driving a Lambo.
Yeah, that's the WEC. LMDH is a Le Mans Daytona hybrid, by the way, for those who haven't been following this for the last couple of years. So that will be raceable, theoretically, both at the 24 Hours of Le Mans and 24 Hours of Daytona, which would theoretically guarantee him a spot in Daytona. I think at some point. And this is not the WEC is a very, how do I put this, sparse calendar.
It is few and far between.
Yes. I think there are eight races a year, something like that. Basically, this is not going to interfere with his IndyCar shenanigans, shall we say.
No.
He will be able to be full-time IndyCar. In fact, you find that a lot of IndyCar drivers who are full-time throughout history are also full-time or borderline full-time, either in the WEC or in the IMSA.
Yes.
I like it. Grosjean is a capable guy. He knows how to get the most out of a new car. I think it would be very exciting as a driver to be able to develop a car like that for a brand like that to your liking, right? I think that's kind of the next big thing we're seeing is drivers take on these new roles at teams, just to be like, this is a blank slate of a car. Let me build it how I want to, if you will. Not that they're literally building it, Tim, but you get what I'm saying.
No. They're overseeing the production. So yeah. I think it'll be an exciting opportunity. I was just looking around. We do have a little bit of driver movement that we've not discussed with the listeners. Unfortunately, next year for 2023, Gunther Steiner decided that he wanted to shake up the lineup a bit. Now, this was probably the worst kept secret in the F1 paddock, especially because we heard about it.
This is about as unknown as the fact that F1 is openly controlled by money and bribes. Like, come on.
Yes.
We all know it.
One Nico Hulkenberg will be towing the line next year next to Kevin Magnussen, which leaves our friend Mick Schumacher out of a drive. They said his progress was just not enough. They needed an established talent that could fight in the mid pack for points because they need points desperately. So that was the decision made there. Mick Schumacher will now become a reserve driver over at Mercedes F1 team. So we may see him back yet. You never know. I know that Toto Wolff was very quick to make that move. So hopefully everything will be well for Mick moving forward. Other reserve driver, I do believe we talked about the new reserve driver that is, I think, there to keep Checo in check.
One Danny Rick.
So lots of high profile reserve drivers for next year. Not a whole lot of F2 guys that, you know, no one's heard of, but everyone's excited about anyway.
If you're Checo Perez, are you a little offended by this, by that move, by the way?
Yes, I am.
I know that is
the stick to the carrot that they want.
To keep him in check. It's like he's been every bit of Valtteri Bottas as you could want in that situation.
It reeks of a Jos Verstappen move.
Doesn't it though?
Yep. It really does.
I also understand Hulk is a well-respected driver. I certainly have nothing against Hulk. I'll also just throw out that I would have given Mick another year, to be honest with you. I really would have.
I think for PR, and for guaranteed experience gaining points, you had to make the move. Mick came with Ferrari money.
This is true.
And he left the Ferrari program this year. So the money that was usually there to secure the seat and make it worth it from a, you know, you have to do the cost benefit analysis. So he isn't bringing you the benefit that he was anymore. You can't use his money to develop the car. And instead he's just giving you subpar results. So you may as well, if you're not getting anything for it, at least give it to a guy who knows how to do it.
I understand that aspect of it. Just to me, Mick was not blowing me away, but he had moments. And also I think Mick was, I think Mick might actually find his way into a B seat hero in the way that Hulkenberg has been in and out during his career. I think you'll see him back on the grid. I think that Mick, though, one of the things to me is that he was a victim of the time frame between Ferrari, between Haas developing an absolute dog shit car in 2021, right?
Yeah.
Dog shit. And then, okay, you've learned to drive that hunk of shit. Here's a completely different car that is built on entirely different principles that seasoned F1 drivers are going to struggle to learn. You're still learning to drive this level. Have good luck. Good luck, baby. I don't want to say he didn't get a fair share, a fair shake, but at the same time, too, though, I'm just like, again, I think he has a little bit more to give.
And we'll find out if George Russell or Lewis Hamilton ends up doing something else or something happens. He might be able to fill in and show he's not that bad of a competitor. Time will tell. I did find an article here on therace.com, the-race.com. Not going to go back to the racism stuff from earlier, does appear that there are rumblings about theories behind the Williams exit. Apparently it was abrupt from Jos Capito.
That was the thing for Williams as well, was they just kind of, he's gone. We announced he's retiring. Wish him all the best.
Yep, it's suspect. So
as the kids would say, that's hella sus, fam.
That is hella sus. but we'll have to just watch this space and stay tuned. Next, I know that February 12th is the Aston Martin reveal. February 13th is the Ferrari reveal of the 2023 offerings. So we have team announcements coming. We will be covering that in the month of January. We're not going to commit to a certain weekend because, as you can tell, life is kind of kicking us in the keister these days. We will have a report card for everything where we bring Ryan Bierke back for, I guess, his winnings of his Bierke jerky.
You know, that's what I should do is I should fly back to St. Louis and just bring jerky and be like, here you go. Here's your Bierke jerky for being right all the time. Go chase yourself.
I was going to say, yeah, he's got a good eye, that kid. Love having him on. So we'll tease him a little bit, but he was probably a lot more right than we were.
a lot more right.
Yeah. And then in February sometime, Drive to Survive season 5 drops.
Yes, I've been rewatching Drive to Survive. Not going to lie, I didn't watch the most recent season, so I'm still catching back up to the 2021 season. I find it. If you know how the season goes, it's not quite as entertaining as I would have liked. It's gotten more dramatic over the years.
It has, but
so I'll catch up and I'll watch the new season. We'll give it a review.
Correct.
Tim, is there anything else we want to cover up?
I think that's it.
I think so. We'll be back in January. I think I speak for both of us when I say we're getting back in the regular swing of things, but also the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, nothing happens, and you won't want to hear from us too with our garbage takes. But we do wish you and yours a very happy holiday season, regardless of what you are celebrating, and a wonderful new year. We hope everything worked out for you in 2022, and 2023 is everything you deserve it to be.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Until next time, see ya.
Adios.